Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training. Debs.
Law, you all right?
Yeah, I'm busy. How are you?
Yeah, super busy at the moment and juggling lots of different things at the moment in time. Yeah, but good busy. Good busy.
But that seems to be a very popular word at the moment. But you know what, Debs? Every time I hear people saying I'm busy, I immediately flash back to that conference you and I were doing something at, I think, back in 2016.
Yeah, it must have been, I think, Law.
And the chief financial officer had stood up and said to this huge congregation of people, big, you know, catch-up conference, that busy is the new lazy. And not having time to reprioritize, to, you know, keep your skills fresh, being busy was no longer going to be kind of tolerated as an excuse. And, you know, that's really kind of stuck with me about how actually if you're too busy to invest in your own skills or just a bit of time just to kind of reflect, and at some point, actually, that becomes a bit of a risk for the longer term, you know, and, you know, you might find yourself not having the skills that are, you know, seen as kind of valuable. And then at some point, you might not be so busy. So I think what's quite interesting is you've got this kind of dilemma almost, Debs, isn't it? Which is, how do you then as the world kind of really opens up and there's lots of change and transformation, how do you carve out time to be able to look after your own skills and invest in your own kind of development? Hence our focus for this month.
Yes.
So this has got a back to school vibe.
It has.
So new term, new energy. This is an opportunity for us all just to kind of dial in and have some opportunity to think about, what does success mean for me? What might that mean in terms of some of those decisions and actions sort of ahead of me? And actually, if I were to just really put myself right in the center for a moment, what does that mean in terms of my potential moving forward?
Yeah, I can't wait for this. I'm really looking forward to this because we're speaking to different people each week, aren't we? And gaining from them what success is and redefining it and how do you do it and how do you look after yourself in the middle of it? So yeah, really looking forward to this wonderful month of September.
Yeah, can't wait. Because there's nothing like listening to different people from a completely different perspective that can sometimes just spark your thinking, disrupt your thinking, as you always say, Debs, and just kind of get a bit of sort of freshness. So, seeing as we are having a back to school vibe,
go on.
We've got a little test.
Yay!
For if it's safe and appropriate to do so as you're listening to this, grab a piece of paper or, you know, get your phone and make a note. If it's not safe to do so, then just kind of talk it out loud in yourself. So this exercise we call the 10-word exercise, and it is one of my favourites, Debs.
It's
as
such
a way
a good
to
one.
Start a session. So here is the test that is a chance for you to think about the word success. So if you could write the word success like it is a title.
Done it.
And you got 30 seconds to list down there the 10 words that you personally associate right now with that word success.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go. Okay, pen's down.
Okay, miss.
You know, my tummy felt nervous with that.
Yeah, mine.
The good thing is no one has to worry about spelling because no one else is going to see it.
That's true.
Own personal
Thank gosh.
List. So, Debs, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
All right, then.
What have you got on your list?
So what I've got on my list is I've got pride, drive, determination, share, growth, together, achievement, collaborate, celebrate, passion.
Oh my God, that's a lovely list. But how long have you and I known each other for now?
Oh my God, about 10, 11 years now.
Jeez, Debs, I'd have expected to have had more shared words. We've only got one in common.
Oh my God. Brilliant. Just shows you, doesn't it? What's the word, Law?
Growth.
Oh, wow. That's really, yeah. Okay.
So that word, that's the one word. So my list was happiness, fulfillment, health, family, peace, growth, security, projects, purpose, fun.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, how long have we known each other? So our perspective of what that word means to us is slightly different, apart from our one joined up word, which is growth.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it's a very powerful exercise, Des, because I've not done that for ages myself. And actually, it sure does concentrate the mind when you have to come up with a bit of a list. And already, having done this just now, I'm thinking, when's the last time actually I put in some time to ensure those certain things happened? Because if actually deep down, that's what a successful life means to me, then am I prioritising the right things in the right order? So it's quite a powerful exercise. So if you didn't do that really with us at the same time, it's a very powerful exercise to do either with your team or with yourself. And it sure does get you then being able to challenge yourself. Am I making the right decisions around my time in a way that is, you know, is a way in which I define success? So it is with great pleasure, Debs, talking about defining success. I'm so looking forward to hearing from our amazing guest this week. So I know you had a great conversation with Chris all about redefining success. And this goes out to anyone who is feeling maybe that there's some potential that they've got, but they feel a little bit overwhelmed by, you know, all of the work that it might take to get there. Never underestimate the impact that one person can have on making huge amounts of success happen for others.
Hello, everybody. As you know, this month we're looking about success and setting up for success. And I'm delighted to be joined by Chris Connors, who's going to share how he's had to redefine the criteria for success and what that means to him now. And I'm going to get Chris to introduce himself to you. He wears two hats, so he's going to talk about one in particular for us today. And we're just going to explore what does that mean for him in relation to the work that he's doing, and also the lessons learned as a result of having to redefine what the success criteria looks like for him in relation to his foundation. So, Chris, I am delighted to have you on here. It's been a long time coming.
It's a pleasure to actually be chatting to you and also to all your listeners as well.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Chris. And I know we obviously got your little snippet when you were one of our guests that shared with us how we declutter as well. And I just thought, what an opportunity for us to sort of take you on the next level and let people understand a little bit more about what you do. So give us a bit of an overview of what you do, Chris.
So I do have two hats. My first hat is that first and foremostly, I'm a hairdresser. And I always say that I am the person who gives the client, the guest, the woman, the confidence to be able to go out there and to be able to do whatever it is that they wish to do through a haircut. And my other hat is that I'm also the voice for the child that needs to be heard. I'm the founder of the Cocos Foundation, and the Cocos Foundation supplies 2.5 million meals up the east coast of Africa. Wow. And we've grown over the years. And that's sometimes feels like a very heavy hat to wear, but it is one that I'm incredibly passionate about in supporting young people, you know, that's come to us and come through the foundation.
Mm. And I know the work that you do with the foundation and where it started from. And I suppose give us a bit of a flavour of how successful you were up until, you know, pandemic hit and BC before COVID. So give us a feel. You said, you know, 2.5 million meals to young people and supporting them. But what else has been successful as part of Cocos Foundation?
We primarily work off Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, water, shelter for children. So what we do is we have four programs which we run. One is our Food for Life program, where help to be able to feed the child one meal a day, or we give out food parcels to child-headed families. So that would mean a child that is maybe 12, looking after an 8-year-old, looking after a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. And that's the preferred way that we like to go with the Food for Life program, is because it means that the children then sit round together in a unit, which is what's really important. And they learn the skills of being able to cook for each other, rather than the food just being given out, you know, within a school or et cetera. But having said that, sometimes that is the only way that the food can be given out. So that's our Food for Life project. Our Build for the Future project is where we take young teenagers out from the UK, often challenging, not always. And they come on a 17-day trip and they will build a house for a child-headed family or vulnerable children. And that is twofold. It has a massive impact. It has an impact on the actual child that we're building for, and gives them a feeling of self-worth, because often they're living in a house that is just made of mud and twigs, and they're sleeping in the mud and in horrific conditions. And the other side of the side of it is that it helps the teenagers mm-hmm. who often believe that they haven't got choice, haven't got opportunity in this world, and in the Western world. And actually, when they go there, they realise that they do have so much choice and so much opportunity. Yeah. And that gives them a shift. And that shift comes from the feeling that they feel. So they're not being told it. They're not being shown it. They feel it.
Yeah.
And because of that feeling, it gives them that shift. Then our other project is our Close to Close project, where we ask donate clothes for secondhand clothes. And we have collection points where we go and collect the clothes. And then we have young people from DOV doing their DOV, along with our knitting nannies who are volunteers. And they sort all the clothes out, and then they're all eBayed, and we raise money for school uniforms for the children in Africa. And also we raise money for their beds as well.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we have our Skills for Life, where we like to be able to give the young people in South Africa that opportunity to be able to do whatever it is they want to do, so they mm-hmm. become self-sufficient, so they're not relying on us. And that is that they can become plumbers. We've got one young lady studying to be a doctor.
Wow.
We've got a man in the UK at the moment who's doing a commercial diving course. And obviously, you've been very instrumental in his journey over the last 10 years, Dave. And we can't thank you enough for that, for supporting him. And we help these youngsters to be able to get where they want to get to or need to get to in order to be able to support themselves and the rest of their family. So that's kind of the big overview. In terms of the pre-pandemic, we had over 12 houses that were going to be built in 2020. We had over 80 volunteers that were going out to go and build those houses. I went out in the January, and I go out every year for a month in the January. And what I do is I speak to all the Ndunus and the chiefs and set up the line of communication, and then go into the families, assess the families, and assess the families around where they live to make sure that everything's safe for when our volunteers come out.
Mm-hmm.
And often we'll have maybe 15 houses that maybe need to be built, or 20, but we've only got enough money for 10.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you feel a little bit like God. But we do have a formula that helps us to be able to understand which houses or who should get the houses. You know, that formula has never really listed down. And then what we do then is we obviously then take out the volunteers to be able to build those houses. And I remember one particular lady in January, she was a Gogo grandma, and she had 5 children.
Wow.
And I went and viewed her house, and it really was bad. It was just corrugated iron, and all these kids and this gogo lived there. And you know, you don't just go and just have a quick chat. It's not a 10-minute chat. It almost takes half a day.
Yeah.
You have translators as well. But just as I went to leave, she grabbed my arm, and she was blind, this lady, and she said, "Thank you so much," she said, "for building the house for, you know, my grandchildren." And I said to her, "Well, your house is going to be the first one built, which will be in April." I said, "And you know, I assure you that the kids will be okay and you'll be okay." I then arrived home, and boom, the world
pandemic hit. Yeah.
And we couldn't build the house.
Right.
And subsequently in the June, Gogo died of COVID.
Oh, wow. And
the challenge is a lot of these children that we work with, their parents have died from HIV.
Yeah.
Or from AIDS. And she then passed away. They're now losing their grandparents from COVID. Mm. She passed away. And there was a tremendous feeling of guilt and heaviness on your shoulders, because you'd made this promise and you couldn't keep this promise.
Yeah.
That was phenomenally difficult.
I can imagine.
And what was so hard in that period was we were also locked down, and I lived by myself. So
yeah,
all of those thoughts when you're just in your house by yourself at home and not coming people up. I'm somebody who does talk things through with people, you know, a lot. And even when I'm cutting somebody's hair, I'm often talking through, and it's almost my counselling session as well as theirs. I didn't have that. I didn't have that tool that was there. So that was really hard to come to terms with, the fact that we couldn't do that, and that she didn't get to see, you know, the kids safe and, you know, et cetera.
So what would be the lesson, if you like, from that, Chris? Because that's just, when you listen to that, you just have no, well, I don't have any understanding of the impact that that has. As you said, you've made the promise to somebody in the January, and then COVID hits, and then by what was the lesson that you took from that, especially as you then were stuck here back in the UK, right, unable to go out and do what you would normally do, which I know you work so hard, so what was the lesson that you took from that?
Well, what soon became very obvious was, and the immense challenge was, is that it then didn't become about the houses. Although we had to work incredibly hard to be able to get all the money back from the airline that was suffering, so we had about £90,000 worth to get back to the volunteers. So we were working, you know, really hard on sorting all that out. But what suddenly realised was, is that over there, the international client wasn't going out. So people weren't going on their game reserves. They weren't going... Right. to their safaris, they weren't going on holiday. So Gogol, who was working in a game reserve, suddenly didn't have a job.
Right, wow.
She then didn't have food, or couldn't have any money to buy food then. So the house actually then became irrelevant, because actually food was now the importance.
Yeah.
Suddenly, everything, we had to think, well, hang on a minute, we were getting so many requests for people needing food.
Right.
Because they didn't have any money. Now, they got a first world lockdown, as indeed how we did, but they didn't get first world support from their government.
True, yeah.
So, you know, we got paid, a lot of us, 80% of our wage, and, you know, did whatever we did, and life was, if we think back, it was quite a sunny time. You know, the weather was really nice, people were out walking, you know, and so for some people it was really good, and not for everybody. And but suddenly over there, they had nothing. So we had to then redirect everything and change everything to redirect it all into food.
Right.
And what surprised me was when we thought that people weren't going to have money, people weren't going to be able to help us, people weren't going to be able to support us, they were, you know, going to be, if you like, looking internally at how they could support themselves. It actually changed quite the opposite. Once we managed to get the message out there about the fact that, you know, people were really, really going without and hadn't eaten for 3 days, etc.
Right.
People then started giving us more money.
Oh, okay.
Because it was food.
Right, so actually, got you.
In those 2 year period, what occurred was, is that we actually ended up making more money than what we did previously, but just in a slightly, in a different way. And then what happened then was, is people then, the sort of the whole social media thing started rolling, and people then started, we could get the message out about the houses, that we hadn't managed to build the houses, and we started getting large donations in for the houses.
People
were getting grants from you know, maybe government, or people were, some people, not everybody, but some people were better off.
Yes,
and
that's true.
They were reflecting about the world. They were reflecting about, you know, people often say, does charity begin, you know, doesn't charity be begin at home? But people were realising that this planet that we live on is our home.
Yeah.
It's the address that we live in.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, there was, the bigger picture was, for many reasons, about what was happening, not just in South Africa or, you know, your mum and dad up the road, but it was a whole bigger picture. And that was what was really heartwarming. And I think what's happened is actually our challenge now is going to be this coming year.
Right. Okay. So what does that look like now? Because if you've had to, if you like, you had to redefine the success criteria, right, from one extreme to the other and pivot really quite quickly. But so what does that now look like?
So that whole, you've just nailed it. There's that pivot quickly. You can only pivot quickly, in my opinion, is it to be smaller but better.
Yes,
so
nice.
Being better is bigger.
Yes.
And the bigger we get, the better we get. But actually, it's like that old, you know, it's an old tanker. The bigger you are, you've got to change direction. It takes you 7 miles to change direction.
True.
If you're a little sailing yacht, you can just quickly tack and off you go.
Yeah.
And that we realise that actually smaller is better.
Right.
But just what you're doing, much, much better, but just in a smaller way.
Right.
And then a lot quicker.
Okay.
And so for us, it was to become a little bit smaller and get really honed in and really defined in on what is successful with our four projects.
Right.
And what is going to make a difference within those four projects.
What was it about you then? Because I know you hate when I ask you these questions, but what was it about you that was enabled you, as you said, you were suddenly at home on your own and not being able to talk these things through. So what was it that enabled you to create that success for you, to be able to pivot and make it small so that you could still continue to make a difference with the foundation and still do what you wanted to do and follow through on the promises, albeit slightly different? So what is it about you that enabled that success to happen?
I think what it was about mainly was about, for me, was just having that time to reflect.
Yeah.
So like many of us, we did find that we had more time on our hands.
Yes.
Probably found that I worked the hardest in that period than I've ever worked before, because it wasn't just about the Cocos Foundation, it was also about my company.
Yes.
And how I was going to get both of them through and make sure that everybody's job was intact and etc. But you did have these massive chunks of time where you could just reflect. And as you know me better than anybody else in this country, I'm not a reflector.
No, you're not a reflector.
I'm somebody who always thinks forwards.
Yeah.
Always is just focused on how can we, what needs to happen to make it work.
When,
And for me, that real understanding that actually reflection gives you that opportunity to be able to understand what it is that you want, where you're going, and what it is that, you know, that you need to be able to upskill yourself, to be able to get yourself where you want to be.
Yeah, got you.
So it was a lot of time just researching, sitting, thinking, talking to people on the phone. You know, I could draw on friends that I always say I've got certain friends that when I have challenges, I can just ring up. You've been one of them. And just to be able to ask those questions of me and not let me wriggle out of them.
Right.
Wanted to help me to get to where I need to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say anybody that's listening to you know, this podcast is, find yourself a coach. Find yourself somebody that is actually going to ask you those questions, because your family members, your friends will always put it there for you. They'll always make it right for you. And although a coach will have your interest at heart, they will not let you get away with, you know, deflecting it. And it's, you need people, somebody in your life that can ask you those challenges, challenging questions, in order to be able to get where you want to get to.
Yeah.
So reflection was the biggest thing. And I also think as well, we don't necessarily sometimes give ourselves time.
Yes,
and
that's true.
It's the time to let it come to you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're expected to, you know, get that answer quick. So, you know, you often, somebody will often send you an email and 10 seconds later they send you a text telling you that they sent you an email.
Yeah.
Onto that, they phone you up, say, I've sent you a text and I sent you an email. I need a, you know, and it's like, so sometimes we just need time.
Yeah.
And it's just saying to people, I just need to actually think about that for a bit. Can I come back to you? And that really is important, because you just need to, I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, you go out, you walk the dog, and it just pops into your head. Sometimes you wake up the next morning and you've got the answer to the solution.
Yes.
But if you haven't given yourself that time, then it's not just going to come to you organically.
Mm.
And it's actually actually the organically thing about it, then you know it's right, then it feels right,
yeah.
then you know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
If you're pushing at it all the time, then that's often sometimes when you can make those, you know, wrong decisions.
Yeah.
And quite sit well, you change your mind. Whereas yeah. if you allow it to come to you, often they're the ones that are, you know, they're grounded, they're rooted, and it enables you to go forward a lot stronger. Mm.
Yeah, and I echo what you're saying around that, giving yourself the time just to reflect and think. And yes, it was enforced on you, but what it's enabled you to do by the sounds of it is to really redefine what success looks like for Coco's Foundation now. So what are you doing now? What's your plan? Because I know you like the plan, but what is your plan now for 2022 and beyond?
For us, it is about getting the volunteers back out there.
Yeah.
And young people back out there, because there is an immense challenge, I think, with young people that really don't know what they want to do, and they're unsure about where they're going in life. And I can't tell you why Africa does that. It allows, I suppose, actually, it allows them about everything we've just spoken about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where they haven't got a phone.
Yeah.
It puts them in a place where they've got time to just be. It puts them in a place where they can reflect. It puts them in a place where they're helping others. And I absolutely think that, you know, that gives them the time to be able to understand them, who they are, and yeah. where they then go moving forward. So we're, you know, we're looking at, we've got next year fully booked 2023.
Yep.
We're starting off again in 29th of October.
Yeah.
2024's pretty much booked up.
Wow.
So we're at 2025 now, which means actually that we're going to be building 12 houses each time.
Wow.
What it also made us realise as well, certainly through the pandemic, is that what happens is that you're going to, you know, people here in the UK or mm-hmm. abroad or whatever, in America or Germany, Europe, and you're asking for money, but actually that pot can dry up.
Yeah.
And what we did, a bit of a crazy thing in lockdown, is we bought a farm in Uganda.
Right.
And it was done through social media. I haven't even been there yet.
Have you not yet?
No,
that's on your list then.
I'm going to tell you when, because I'm just going to turn up there when that won't and supply.
Brilliant. I like that.
And the reason for that is, you know, why did we do that? Well, it was for 101 street kids.
Right.
That were all living on the street. And we needed to be able to get these street kids off the street and looked after, but we had no money. So we did a 24-hour session with a friend of mine called Pete Cohen.
Yes.
And we got loads of people came on board, and it was all about leadership, and people donated. And we raised £10,000 in 24 hours.
Wow, amazing.
To buy this farm. And now the farmer's just had its first yield of peanuts.
Oh, wow.
£2,500, which has managed to get all the kids to school.
Wow.
And so what's going to happen is this farm is going to be feeding the kids, getting them to school.
Yeah.
So, and not the kids aren't going to be working, the community works on this farm to be able to help these kids.
Mm.
So what we then suddenly realised is, well, actually, we need to replicate this where we're working, you know, in South Africa. This is in Uganda, this is happening, so that they're in control of their own destiny. And actually,
yeah.
we don't have to keep asking for the English pound. You know, to be able to do it. And I don't think that travel is going to be as easy moving forward. I think it's going to be, you know, challenging.
Yes.
I do think that travel will be for maybe the privileged too. So we have to think differently moving forward about how can, you know, they help themselves. I do have a lot with some land. We're looking at extending that.
Right.
We're looking at all that we've got through our Skills for Life program.
Yeah.
They'll be working within once they've left school and et cetera, they'll be working within the lodge, you know, within there doing, you know, chefing and, you know, the house cleaning and
mm-hmm.
Looking at training divers as well there. And then local people from Durban, Johannesburg will go up and travel, because rather than going internationally, they'll travel locally
yeah.
to go and do these things. The profit that we make from that can then build the houses.
Got you.
So again, it's making it sustainable within. And I'm never a lover of that word, sustainability. Sustainability is about relationships.
Yes.
So, you know, it's about, you know, if you haven't got relationships, you haven't got sustainability.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. So it means that they then are in control of their own destinies, as opposed to us giving. And I'm really now, what again it gave me time to do 2020 was to realize that that charity chat, that charity tap, we turned on when it's needed from abroad, but also once they're up and running and looking after, you know, themselves and knowing where they're going, you turn it off.
So that they're up
and then you move it to another area that needs
it. And I suppose that's redefining what the success criteria is. And it, as you say, it doesn't have to stay as it always was. So, and you're proof of that.
And that again is, I can't say whether, you know, it's growing organically.
Yeah.
What I do know that if we revisit it in 2 years' time, that the Uganda farm will be feeding more kids and there'll be more kids going to school. And hopefully we'll have the foundation lodge all up and running, and you know, and that's going to be helping more kids, and we'll be redoing it again.
That's amazing. I know the work that you do, and I know how, where it started with the team around you that started it off way back when, and how it's evolved. And I think just listening to you today has really just reinforced the importance of, one, I think definitely connection and relationships, but how important it is to have that lesson around reflection and time. And big isn't always great, but small enables you to pivot really quickly. So for people that, as you said, people can volunteer to come and support and help you in many ways. But if people wanted to find out more about what you do, Chris, and what COCO's Foundation stands for, and just to even have you come and talk to them about what you're doing and the impact that you're having from the UK, but also, I'm going to use the word sustainability, actually over there. So how do people get in touch with you?
So please just contact us at info@cocosfoundation.co.uk. And that's an email that'll come to us. And just check us out at www.cocosfoundation.co.uk. And
Brilliant.
Then, you know, the team, you know, that work with us, because it's not all again about me. It's about making sure that you're leaning into others for support. And that's what's important. I know my skill set and I know what I'm good at, but I also know what I'm not good at.
Yeah. And that's a lesson right there, right?
Balance yourself with people that are your yin and your yang, you know, that are, do the other half of what you can't do, and lean into them. So when the team members will then, you know, get hold of me, because I don't do the detail. you know, we'd love to come and talk to schools.
Yeah,
we'd love to come into, you know, groups, etc.
Yes,
when you come on a trip, you'd be more than welcome to come on the trip.
Yeah, no, I love that. Oh, well, God, Chris, I'm just conscious of your time. And obviously, you know, your time is precious as well. So, and being able to use that to your advantage. So I just want to say a huge thank you for taking the time out. At last, we've got you on our podcast talking about the foundation, which is close to my heart as well. And being able to be a small part of it as well is huge. So I just want to say a massive thank you for your time. And we'll make sure that people know how to contact you. And I know they can find you on all the socials to see the work that you are doing in the four key areas that you're working on. So thank you. It's precious time. So I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you. And thank you for all you do for us personally as well. It's appreciated.
My pleasure. All right. Thanks, Chris. See you later. Bye.
Wow, Debs, that is just such a pleasure to listen to Chris, you know, and just he operates in a completely different world from the one that I see. So I just found that really inspiring. So as a coach, it's all about call to action. So what would your call to action be for all of us this week?
My call to action, and I'm going to take this from what Chris had to share with us as well, is to make that time for yourself. Don't rush into anything. Do yourself a favour. Pause, take the time, think about it, and then choose what's the best course of action. So that would be my call to action. Oh, pause for some time.
Love it, Debs. And seeing as we've got a back to school vibe going on this month, and it's all about people, our guests sharing their lessons, I think my one would be, my share the secret would be, think of someone that you know who already feels like they're kind of too old to change, or, you know, their kind of time has passed by. I had a conversation only today with someone who was saying, oh, I'm too old to retrain and kind of, you know, do that kind of thing. And then she was only 28.
Goodness me.
Only 28 gosh. And she'd already written herself off as being,
I've
done all my learning and, you know, this is me and I'm stuck on this kind of path. And it was a real eye opener because I was thinking,
wow.
meet you at 38 in 10 years time yep. and you would just be thinking how young you are today, you know, to kind of yes. do that. So I think yeah. my share the secret would be, if you think there's someone who's feeling like they're too old to redefine success, then get them to listen to this, because it's amazing the impact that someone can make just making some calls from his sofa. And he yes. made huge amounts of kind of success happen. Get them to listen yeah. to this. And what a great opportunity to have a chat after about redefining success.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you on that, Law. So, and that sort of was a nice lean in, I suppose, to our month and our next guests that are coming on board as well. So I'm looking forward to having conversations with them too.
Yeah, can't wait. And next week's guest, we're going to be looking at the lessons we can take from the world of agile working mm-hmm. to everyday agile practices. So yes. we can set ourselves up for success, not stress, in an agile way. So can't wait for that. So in the meantime, Debs.
Yes.
I hope you have a growth-filled week.
You too, Law.
Not in a medical sense.
No, let's not
in
go
a professional
there.
Sense.
Professional sense. You too, Law, and I look forward to it.
All right, so have a wonderful week.
See you later. You too.
Love you. Bye. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at secretsfromacoach@aol.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating, as it makes it easier for us to share the secret with others.